This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
No such thing as a free bailout.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. The U.S. pay czar will be slashing salaries and rewriting some rules for companies getting large amounts of government aid. Kenneth Feinberg, the so-called compensation czar at the Treasury Department, will reportedly be cutting salaries by about 90% for some employees at AIG, Bank of America, Citigroup, General Motors, and Chrysler, among others. Feinberg will also demand some corporate governance changes, including splitting up the chairman and CEO positions. Some big news out of China this morning. Its gross domestic product is up nearly 9% from a year ago. The GDP measures all of the goods and services a country produces, and it's a big economic indicator. 9% is pretty huge, especially in the middle of a global recession. How'd they do it? Gareth Leather is a China analyst for the Economist Intelligence Unit. Gareth, thanks for talking with us.
It's a pleasure.
So tell me, how did China manage basically 9% GDP growth over last year?
Yeah, well, China's been very aggressive in supporting its economy, both through big cuts in interest rates and surge in bank lending by the state-owned banks, and also as well a big increase in government spending. And it's been this combination of really aggressive monetary and fiscal policy which has enabled the economy to grow by 8.9% in the third quarter, which is much higher than any other emerging or indeed developed economy.
Is the Chinese government going to keep this stimulus up, or is there word that they may be decreasing their aid?
Certainly, the Chinese government's quite encouraged by what's happened over the past year in the economy and indeed probably surprised at the speed of the rebound. But I don't think they're likely to take away all the stimulus completely all in one go. I think what they're going to do is they're going to kind of selectively withdraw parts of it.
What effect do you think it will have if the aid is sort of tapers off, as you say? I mean, will it have any effect?
Well, it depends how well it's done. That the government is hoping that the domestic economy and certainly the private sector will have recovered strongly enough to compensate for the big fall that you're likely to see in government spending, and also that over the next year or so you'll see a recovery in export prospects as well, which have been hit really hard by the global downturn over the past year. So hopefully what you'll see is that growth will remain at around the kind of 8-9% range.
And from what I understand, the global economy this morning, the markets anyway, seem a little worried about China potentially backing off.
Yes, no, they do. That certainly, I think that's most a reflection of the fact that China now plays a big role in the global economy. But I think it's important to note that the Chinese government has kind of got its stall out, really, to make sure that the economy continues to grow strongly. So I don't think they're likely to tighten too drastically too soon, I don't think, because that, you know, more importantly than anywhere else, it will affect China quite badly, and they don't want to do that.
Gareth Leather is the China analyst with the Economist Intelligence Unit. Gareth, thank you for talking with us.
Yes, it's a pleasure.
Those rumors China might pull back on its stimulus have global markets down this morning. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index is off 0.5%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index sheds 0.6%. London's FTSE down 1.25%. We've gotten a lot of bank earnings this week. Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, and U.S. Bank Corp all came out smelling like roses. American Express reports earnings later today. We've heard a lot about credit cards getting hammered by defaults. So will Amex and others see the same success the banks have had? Alisa Roth takes a look.
Analysts say we can expect good news from American Express this afternoon, or more to the point, less bad news. Kate Fitzgerald is an editor at the trade publication Cards and Payments, and she says American Express looks a lot like the rest of the industry.
We're starting to see losses start to level off and improve. That doesn't mean that they're in good territory.
Credit card companies earn money a lot of different ways. They charge retailers a percentage of each transaction, they charge cardholders interest, and they tack on annual fees. But the biggest way that card companies lose money is when cardholders default on their credit lines. In August, there were record numbers of so-called charge-offs. Those are the loans that credit card companies figure won't be paid back. American Express used to be insulated from a lot of this because it didn't offer revolving credit and it only issued cards to relatively affluent consumers. That changed a few years ago when they opened up their business to just about everybody.
Those are just average consumers that were hit by the average economic trends, and it caused their charge-off rates to go up just like everybody else.
Amex earnings come out this afternoon after the closing bell. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by SunGard. 7 million K-12 students are enrolled in school districts that use software from SunGard Public Sector. More information at sunguard.com. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Producemore, conservemore.com.
Swine flu has been grabbing the headlines, but the regular old seasonal flu is still around. And there's a shortage of vaccine. Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
So, you want a regular flu shot? Get in line. Doctors' offices across the country have run out of the vaccine. Part of the problem is suppliers are making vaccines for seasonal and swine flu. And they're making less of the regular vaccine this year. Tom Skinner is a spokesman for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He says suppliers were stuck with millions of unsold doses last year.
Last year, about 135 million doses were produced, but only about 113 million doses were actually distributed.
So suppliers are only making about 114 million doses of seasonal flu vaccine this year. But demand is actually up because people are worried about swine flu. More regular flu vaccine should be available by the end of next month. Dr. John Trainer is with the University of Rochester Medical Center.
With plenty of time to get the seasonal flu vaccine, and we even recommend continuing to give that even after Thanksgiving.
And the CDC says the regular flu season probably won't really take off until this winter. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
From the Marketplace desk of throwing in the towel, the Financial Times talked to the new CEO of MySpace. The head of the social networking giant says MySpace is no longer interested in competing with Facebook. It's going in another direction. It's a good thing. MySpace has about 100 million users. Facebook, 300 million. In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.